You're listening to the RRR Podcast.
Welcome to the RRR Podcast. We bring you the latest in Tokyo news, in-depth discussions, and everything else that you could ask for, all with a healthy dose of insanity. So here are your hosts, Shugun Shinobi, Dawson Rider, Jedimon, and Aerosol. Riders, Rangers, and Rambles, Season 5. Ready? Go!
Hello, welcome to our Season 5, Episode 24.
Girls Gone Type Wild! Get
oh,
it?
God.
I have two more wild puns in queue, just so you know. But don't tell anybody, but Brian knows them. But.
Just FYI, I really campaigned to delay this one. I tried.
She's like, well, we should save it for the debut. I'm like, come on, son. I got two more in the chamber.
Yeah, that's what she said.
I really went wild with this one, so to speak.
You know, those videos aren't as fun as you think they are.
Thank you.
Everyone just got really sad and serious about it. Like this is serious.
Just saying. Really,
I mean, that's someone's daughter.
That's not bad. It's just kind of dumb.
All right. So what?
Like, I get it. Girls are whores. Yeah, we know. I think I saw Brian's mom on one though.
Yeah, probably.
Kevin
that
prefers
crazy trip
Asian
to
beauties.
Cancun we took a couple years ago.
Brian on spring break.
I won that wet t-shirt contest.
She's gone wild.
I got Trideron and the tire set. That's...
Fuck your mother.
Oh, I found a Dedenne at Walmart, too.
Yay!
That was exciting.
Did you get it?
Yeah.
Of course. You know that's right.
I needed to get cash back so I could go to the bank.
I heard that is, I needed to get cash back. I'm like, he's fine. Don't even worry about him. He's got some borrowed grace.
So I bought.
I can't find
so
the Dedenne.
It's your turn.
Two of them. Wait, my turn? You're talking about...
No, it's Kevin's turn to find a Dedenne.
Oh, I was like, you just started.
Outside of that, I haven't really got anything else. I still need to get the shift car set, too. And I think that's it for this month. I still need to buy Hyper Rush at Teo. I'm holding off on AmiAmi because I want to use my points, but AmiAmi hasn't stocked it, so I'm just still sitting here going,
He's waiting to win at sound effects, right? Aisha Tyler to give him more points so he can buy it.
I use my points to buy my drive order.
Makes sense.
I don't think I've ever used points. I was told they don't matter. I thought it was just like Who's Line.
I was told by a hyperactive black lady that they didn't matter.
Plus Drew Carey, which is basically the same thing.
Other than that, not a whole
lot.
Drew
Carey's a skinny black lady.
Going on.
Now? He didn't used to be.
He changed. I helped my friend move. That was exciting, I guess.
He was stuck on the sofa?
Yeah, I had to pull him up.
Help him move. I'm just picturing Brian, like, moving his legs. Like, come on, you can do this.
Other than that, I got nothing going on, so go for it.
Right, dry on passing. Nothing exciting's happened to me.
Use your vagina, Dawson.
I can't. I'm an inverted vagina.
See.
Or an outverted?
God.
I paid AmiAmi, as I said. I used my points, all my points, to make my drive order affordable. So it should be arriving soon, guarded by Mega Blaziken. Oki was also paid, and so I should be getting toys from August, September, and October from Oki, plus Scissorite. Let's see what else. I bought the comic book Turtles. And the robot foot soldier. I can't seem to find Tiger Claw. I want Tiger Claw, and I need him finish out this next wave.
I haven't seen Tiger Claw yet either.
Yeah. As I said, I cannot find a Dedenne, but tonight when I was at my Toys R Us, I found Pancham, Tyrant, Amora, and Bunnelby. I almost pulled a Dawson Zip in here.
It's hard.
That's what she said. And I didn't get any of them because, one, I didn't have money, and two, the new plushes feel weird. It bothers
Kevin me. Doesn't like the way they pet.
They feel weird? Like the material?
The material. Like, it feels different. It doesn't feel like what I think of what I want to think of a plush that I want to hug.
You should have complained to the manager just so we'd have a story about you complaining to the manager about plush softness.
I should have.
Sir, these plushes are outright out. Never mind.
The only reason I didn't get more is because I always wait for buy one, get one 50% off or 40% off from them because they're so expensive for Pokemon stuff.
They really are. I mean, like, I might get, like, a Tyrant.
Like, I wanted to get the new Mega figures and the evolution sets for the starters, but it's like, oh, $1 million? Yeah. I'll wait for you on sale.
Well, I want to get
the Tyrant because it was the only one I wanted.
I want to get I saw Litleo too. I forgot Litleo. But I want to get the evolution sets for the starters. But I look at the Mega Evolution figures and I'm like, you don't come with a Mega Stone. You come with a drawing of a Mega Stone.
That was my reasoning too.
And that is not the same thing.
I'm like, if you were Asian, you'd have a Megastone. I don't
exactly
want
it. Like the Japanese.
That seems like somebody stole it and left a drawing behind. Oh my god, that's what everyone that steals Ranger Key should do. Then it would be funnier.
That's what it feels like. Like it, like Japanese people give you the same little figure, but with a little plastic stone that I can hold in my hand. American company is like, fuck you. Here's a picture of what you want. Oh,
toy
thanks.
Sales.
It's like.
I love that Zeron made a picture of Toy Sales with Mr. S. It's my favorite.
It's like if someone handed me a picture of a pizza and said, there, now you're not hungry anymore. Oh, thanks. And then I was on the aisle. I don't know about...
He's like climbing and shit.
I was all over that. And I don't know if your toys are set up this way, but my Power Ranger stuff is right across from my Pokemon stuff.
It is now.
Yeah, like they rearranged.
Makes things more convenient.
It freaked me out. Well, no, because Ninja Turtles is on the next aisle now.
Ninja Turtles has an entire aisle to itself.
Okay, it's not just mine then.
Got its own room.
And
got the presidential suite.
So I'm looking at
instead Ranger of the junior suite.
And Power Ranger stuff, and these two, I'm going to call them kids, which makes me feel old, but they're probably like, I don't know, 17-ish, 18, and they saw...
Check their IDs.
And I was trying to... Well, that's how they looked. I was trying to ignore them because I don't like being where people seeing me. I don't want them noticing me. I just want to, like, look the other way like a child and just hope you can't see my face, and so you can't see me. And they just start, and I can hear what they're doing, which is like they're groping the Tommy
right
Legacy Morpher, and like, oh man, this thing is so cool, I want this. Look, it's like $80. I'm like, oh, that's so worth it. I'm like, this thing is awesome. I'm like, oh my god, I need a razor blade. I need to start cutting. And then it gets even worse because then they start like fondling the Legacy figures. And then I'm right in front of them. And the only Legacy figures my fucking Toys R Us has is Zed, Tommy, and Jason. So they're like, oh, look, I do Green Ranger. And I'm like, oh, fuck, this is going. I'm going to have to murder someone. And then they get to Jason. They're like, oh, dude, I got, like, it's remembers this when the Green Ranger's like, here, take my shield and have my powers. I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm going to have to kill him.
How do they remember that?
I don't know. Like, remember how cool this was? I'm like, I'm going to fucking kill each one of these people slowly. Like, it was very different. I'm sitting there, in fact, while they're right there, like, having, like, a fat fest over MMPR. I'm sitting there tweeting about it. Like, I need to just kill these motherfuckers.
I wouldn't even be in the same aisle as them. If there's someone looking in an aisle I'm going to, I just leave. I'm like, oh, there's someone in that aisle. Time to go home. So this is a lost cause.
Well, I wanted to know what they were doing. Like, And then yeah, they were fapping over it. But then they didn't buy anything. Like, they're sitting there jerking off about how much they want these fucking toys, and they don't buy anything. Like, oh, I want to get all these figures. And well, fucking put your money where your mouth is, asshole. Go to the register and buy something. No, but you're too fucking embarrassed to show off your nostalgia. Fucking douchebags. I hate people. Gets me all riled up.
The worst.
But yeah, other than that, I've been sitting here playing Pokemon. We finally finished catching my girlfriend up on Big Bang Theory, so that's awesome. Apparently, I have to watch The Vampire Diaries now. But I keep falling asleep during that. I don't know how that happens, but and then I've been trying to clear off my DVR while playing all this Pokemon, so I'm now like a third of the way through the current Big Brother, which has ended like a month ago. I made it to like.
Remember when you were watching old American Idol VHSs? Classic.
Classic Jedimon. But yeah, like I finished MasterChef, and I started doing this. I have a Hell's Kitchen and then the current Hell's Kitchen to watch, and then I have two full Survivors and the current Survivor. In addition to, like, every other thing I watched during the week.
Oh, my God.
DVR is, like, 68%.
Stop DVRing the news. You'll never catch up.
But it feels like I'm doing. But it's actually – I've actually made a lot of progress because about a week or so ago, I was at, like, 80%. I mean, you figure shit's recording on a almost daily basis around here because of all the shows we watch. It's pretty good. I feel like I had more to say, and I can't think of what it is, so I'm just going to pass to Aerosol, who's not going to talk, and just move into the news.
Present.
Aerosol, yes, who's present.
Classic Ron Swanson answer.
I'm here. That's about all I got to say. yeah, so our first thing is ninjas.
Ninny ninjas. The world with ninjas. Ninja. Like when I first heard, all I could hear was Spike from Buffy just saying, "They're just a bunch of ninnies."
Dance. So our 39th Sentai is called Shuriken Sentai Ninja.
The taunting Sentai.
I don't know how I want to say this.
Ninja,
I guess.
Super boobers.
I like the Ninny Rangers. That's fine with me too.
Yeah, that's Ninny what I'm gonna call them until I finally learn how to say their name. I feel like I'm going through speech therapy every year when I'm trying to learn these names. Q. Just can't pronounce it.
Dawson goes to speech therapy for English names. He sits there, Orion. It took him a while to learn that one. That was tough.
Hell yeah, it was. But other than that, it's going to be about ninjas, and the collectible gimmick is probably going to be shurikens. It's an easy guess.
That's kind of cool. Yeah, that's what I figured.
That thought excites me, like I think. It's seems like a cool little gimmick.
I don't know why I was sort of surprised to see it, because I think the only other rumor floating around was the possible bird theme.
Yeah.
I don't remember any other ones floating around, other than every year we get the, it's going to be space! It's going to be video games! It's going to be bugs! Like, every year. It's like, god damn it! It's like the same people at the damn Pawnee Town Hall meetings, just shouting the same stuff out. Her daughter is an idiot! Like damn it, we're talking about Sentai.
Fuck you! There's always, like, the one guy that believes, like, oh my god, guys, it's gonna be bugs this year? Fucking A! Like, god damn it.
There's a sandwich at one of your parks and it didn't have mayo on it. All the stuff is said during Sentai discussion.
But I was mentioning to these ladies before we started, also to my co-host, I was like, you know, we had dinosaurs, and we had Die Ranger, and we had ninjas, and we got dinosaurs, Tokuger, and we got ninjas. So, 40th Sentai is going to be like O-Ranger Redux. Calling it.
I saw someone the other day
use 40
saying,
different
shapes. They're probably not
different
Sentai. Shapes are fun. But they're not going to put any effort into the 39th because they're going to be putting all their energies into the 40th anniversary. I'm like, oh my god, I forgot we have an anniversary year coming up. And also, that would be a stupid plan. Hey, let's not put any effort into our franchise for a year. That's a solid.
And then that's
going to
be like the 45th Kamen Rider anniversary, and so we're going to have more anniversaries for the next 5 years till it's more anniversaries.
I feel like they never stopped celebrating, so it's just like, it's like perpetual. So, it's like there was no break.
Like, we're going to be celebrating this anniversary. We're still celebrating anniversaries or something. And then by the time we get done with this anniversary, it'll be like the next big anniversary, which they'll carry out for like 2 or 3 years. Because, fuck.
Like,
that's what we
really hope. I have no idea what's going on with them, what they want to do for that. That's a ways off. But I really hope that we just do a Super Sentai versus movie or Hell 2 movies, whatever they want to do, but just keep the series simple and do something subtle like the Bokenger monster designs being based off of Megazords. Something small. Do a Sentai after file. I don't know, but we don't need another big blowed up anniversary.
Masturbation. And
I really don't want a triple ninja team up with all three ninja teams, but if they do it... I want that they have to do it. Make it its own movie. Even though I don't care for Tokyo Joder, I just don't like that the team up movie gets interrupted for shenanigans. Shenanigans. Brand it.
The Tokyo Joder's powerful imagination will summon forth the ninjas or something.
Imagine
it'll be about Ninja Hope, and they'll bring back like redesigns of Ninja Villa.
Ninja Hope.
I don't know. What title made less sense?
Like the Hurricane Rangers again.
I would. Their Returns movie was terrible.
I liked it.
I wouldn't even know what to do with the Cocker Rangers moving at normal speed. It would be incredibly entertaining if they were the only ones moving at 2x speed. There's like no technological way to work that out, though. But I don't know. Even though it's the third redo, I'm kind of excited for it because I like ninjas, so I'm looking forward to seeing what their take on it is this time.
Learning based on Naruto.
Kind of want a three-person team. Want a three-person team. We should do a three-and-a-half-person team. One of them's a midget.
All right. What else? We got, real quick, the driving game movie that almost rhymes. I really wish it did. We got the game chapters about some monster that goes to Kota and Mai's planet and is like, bro, I'm a monster, and then he goes to Zawami City and does the same thing.
He's mad that they saw the Super Megaforce finale for him. It was just some angry Facebook Ranger group member.
So that's why Kota goes to Zawami to try to find the monster and stuff.
Hello, Zawami.
I wonder if he's going to like have some sort of explanation for why he might change back to a normal looking, or if he's just going to go throughout the whole movie in that outfit.
I hope it's an entire movie in that outfit, just because it's so like weird.
It's so over the top.
Look at my long flowing cape.
Like, just the idea of the driver as a detective just sitting there working with this guy in this fucking ridiculous outfit.
And in the drive portion, we've got this new rider called Lupin. who's kind of like some weird mix between like a thief and Kamen Rider Sorcerer. He uses like this blinged out brake gunner to transform, so who knows if we'll actually get a toy of that, but it's
very flamboyant.
It's a very extravagant suit. I like it though. He's got a top hat, and that's thrilling to me.
I can't even tell that it belongs to Drive. It looks like it belongs to Wizard.
Yeah,
like when I saw it, I was like, oh, this is from the Wizard half. I'm like, oh fuck, Wizard's not part of it.
it definitely. Most of the movie villain riders, you can always tell where they belong. This one doesn't go to Gaim or Drive, besides the fact that he's using a remodeled brake gunner. Like, that's the only thing tying him to anything. So it's
it
pretty
looks so different.
It's pretty extravagant, but
although I'm sure Double Through Wizards will be in the movie for like no reason. It'll probably be cars or something.
They'll be there to have a circle jerk.
I hope the fat kid is birthed.
Finally, we got the newest Figuro scans. A lot of weird in these scans. The next
blade broken helmet. What the fuck?
Yeah, that's probably the biggest WTF.
That's our first like human faced rider figure, except for like Hana.
Well, you know, the thing that gets me about that is you go, there are so many things that have not been made, yet you've decided, you know what we need to do? A broken helmeted version of Blade. Because fuck G3 Mild.
G3 Mild? Damn it.
About that, fuck.
And then Kiva's just over there going, hey guys, what about me? And they're like, Blade, broken helmet.
He's the only one left. They only have one more, and they'll release all main 10 riders. That's all they need to do.
What about Saga?
Well, no, I'm talking about the main
gets
ones.
Me the most is that even looking
at Blade.
No, I just mean
because we saw him.
Like both Jokers and all three of the missing Glade. Ace riders that you could do. And yet they're putting out Blade again with a broken helmet.
Wild Chalice.
Oh yeah, Wild Chalice still needs to be made too. But I don't know. I still don't know their system.
I still convinced it's like a pulling out of the hat system.
Why would this even be in the hat?
I don't know. Maybe like they found the Blade one, but like it was ripped, so they were inspired.
We also got a different Kakiter, Vegito.
Looks like a clown. Not Vegito, the Kakiter guy. Vegito's fine. I'm still waiting for SH Figuarts Vegeta Coffee Bean version. It's gonna be premium Bandai, like super expensive, but it's gonna be way worth it.
Figuarts Zero EX, just giant Figuarts Zeros. That's amazing. Figuarts from the only other Precure I've seen are finally getting released, so that's actually exciting for me.
I call those large Power Rangers figures Figuarts EX because they're big.
You bet.
Damn it.
And then, as we were talking about, the next Shinkocho Seiho figure art is not Kiva.
He's a hoe.
You're getting Kuga again. Which, it disappoints me because I really want Kiva. But at the same time, I'm happy because I really like Kuga. So, I'm a very love-hate with this guy, but... He does look really, really pretty. Like, really pretty. Like, I really want him.
Brian's into hoes.
Faux shows. But that is all for the new Zizzles.
Yeah.
A little more to talk about this week. So that was exciting. Normally we're just like, news. Okay, superhero time.
What about you want to talk about the drive?
Oh, yeah, that's important, because it's title-worthy.
Oh, yeah.
That was close. Almost made my title sound ridiculous.
I think it kind of did that on its own.
Moving along from that stupidity.
I forgot what it was. It was like some candy toy site or whatever. The small vinyl candy toy figures. Pictures from the next set popped up, and it does contain Type Wild. And it was our first really look cool. at it. It's really neat and quite a departure from Type Speed, which I really like. The tires on his shoulder, it kind of looks like some sort of like missile launcher, except with a tire instead of...
It's pretty badass looking.
Reminds me of War Machine is what I was kind of going with that.
Yeah.
But
Iron Patriot. That's way cooler. No, it isn't.
I like him. I want to see him in action fighting people.
Iron Patriot or Type Wild?
Well, both.
Or Iron
Patriot. I like the Iron
fighting
Patriot,
Type Wild.
But...
This is what we blew our load on.
Iron Patriot? Are we still? I don't know where we are.
For God's sakes, move on.
Are we moving on yet?
Yep.
Alright, well that means It's time for superhero time. Takuja! Shupa! Shinko! What? Don't laugh at me. Kamen Rider Drive, start your engines!
Alright, so Tokuger 30 something, 33, I think, 34, something like that. 31 of them. For 33, there we go. For all intents and purposes, it was basically a filler episode, but for some reason, I actually liked it quite a bit. Like, not in a "wow, this episode was amazing" sort of way, but it was one of the more enjoyable Tokuger fillers, I think. And with the characters being where they're at in the show, I mean, we only really have like 15 episodes left, so we're getting down to the wire a little bit. But
oh yeah, it's awesome.
With just them knowing their story, and then by extension, you knowing their story, I think the conductor guy like said it at the beginning, like, "Oh, they've really matured," and a little bit they did, but at the same time, they're still kids, and so you've kind of got that understanding of why the characters were, in essence, written so childish, because that's what they were.
Yeah.
So knowing that, I think I have a easier time kind of stomaching these end filler episodes, because it makes more sense to my brain, I suppose.
You know, I'm actually kind of glad that they found out this early, because like normally most other Sentai, they wouldn't find this kind of shit out until like episode 46 of 48. But here, like, you found out, you know, last week, and then now we have these last, you know, 15, 16 episodes, whatever they give us, of them dealing with that and moving forward, and how, you know, how they're going on from here, knowing we were kids, and we're going to keep going, and we might not be kids again, and but you know what, let's keep going. And so yeah, it's kind of nice that they're not waiting until the last minute to give us all the details. Also, Brian.
But yeah, like you said, it was filler, but it was better filler than we typically get. It was a nice little episode to kind of I don't want to say further the relationship between Wright and Hikari, but I guess expand on it. I don't know. Tokuger doesn't do any sort of characterization well, but
their sweet, sexy relationship.
They tried. They tried this episode, so I'll give them that. And it helps to not have a plot that's completely ridiculous.
You mean you don't like chicken heads?
It wasn't. I mean, the villain seemed, I don't want to say threatening, but threatening enough. He was poisoning people. And I did kind of enjoy the little competition between the two of them to see, you know, how many crows can we take out in this amount of time. But
I like the scene at the very end where it's like, "But I defeated the main bad guy. That's like 5 points, right? I won." We also found out that Wright's basically the douchebag that's always really good at things.
Yeah.
I hate those people.
Don't hate me.
Yeah, it kind of helped to show that kind of the difference between the two of them, because well now we know why they're decent fighters, at least.
Yeah.
Hikari, Wright, and Mio, yeah. But it did help to show that Wright's just kind of the person that's very naturally talented at things, but doesn't really take it seriously, whereas Hikari works a lot towards you know, building up his strength and getting it better at something.
Yeah. I like how that it was such a throwaway line when Mio's like, "I did kendo a little bit." I'm like, "Bitch, I called that episode one. You're doing fucking kendo moves on the crows." It's no damn secret. Yeah, outside of liking it, I liked the syringe Shadow being the karate guy sort of thing. I thought that was a neat little...
It was a nice little turnaround.
Yeah, I was about to say gag. I'm like, that's not a gag.
And, you know, it's kind of believable how Hikari, you know, figured it out. He can recognize the hands of someone who's done karate a lot. But I mean, I get it. Like, a person who works hard towards something, you know, might have calluses on their hands, or their hands might be rougher or something like that. But, you know, he noticed right off that when the monster was disguising himself as the old man, his hands didn't feel right. Which sounds so dumb.
The moral of the story is Syringe Shadow has nice hands.
He's got two nice hands. It's just...
He got a manicure
before
nice.
He went out, and he takes care of them too well.
Yes.
Sound absurd.
I try to be the best at surfing for naughty things on the internet while touching myself at the same time. And eating a sandwich.
Is that how you get rough hands?
That's exactly how I get rough hands. A lot of friction. A lot of heat. It builds the calluses, makes you stronger.
And sandwich crumbs with the other one.
And the sandwich crumbs with the other one. And a computer mouse with my third hand.
Okay.
Which is also my penis.
I think that's our cue.
Damn, my penis is actually eating the sandwich.
Okay. Alright. Moving along to drive.
Brian's imagining that right now. And I'm really happy for it.
Slowly dying inside.
Why slowly?
All right, so this was the start
Die faster.
Of the painting gallery guys thing.
That was well said, Brian.
that was my beautiful synopsis on this episode. I liked it. It was fun.
I have a question. Does anybody else find the rest of his coworkers to be a little bit annoying?
I don't know enough about them to really classify them as annoying, but I feel like they're useless at the moment. Like, they're not really doing anything except providing comic relief, and I mean, the one chick wasn't even in the episode at all.
Kirika, the one that actually does stuff?
No.
Or the other, Rena. The science chick, yeah.
They're fluff characters, really.
I think it's funny how they all seem to be completely oblivious to their surroundings. Because, I mean, it's a department of, what, five people? And twice during this episode, they didn't recognize that one of them were gone? It's like, oh, so I'm going to team up with the science person. Wait a minute, she's not here. Really? You didn't notice that? She sits 5 feet away from you.
I appreciate the fact that they recognize how stupid they look in those hats.
No, didn't you hear the painter? They're very avant-garde.
Fuck avant-garde.
Whatever the fuck that means.
If I could explain it, I would. I have some idea. It's fucking stupid is what it is.
Well, yeah, I know.
Also, Dawson is a butt licker.
I would say that the other characters, they are very kind of fillery for the moment. I hope they get more to do later on, but they don't necessarily annoy me. I think the only thing that kind of bugs me a bit, and this happens sometimes in Gaim and in Kamen Rider more often recently, actually, is this weird sort of visual gag that these shows have a tendency of doing, where they'll like repeat a shot rapidly, like the guy looking at his phone and his mouth falling open. They like quickly repeated that three or four times, or the weird scientist dude blinking in the car or whatever. It's they're weird visual gags that just don't really land with me.
I've never liked that in any show, and you're right. The writer's been doing this like at least a couple times a season, and like it throws me off because I'm always watching a show, and when things don't move fluidly, I'm like I get taken aback for a minute. I'm like, whoa, what? And so, like, this fucking thing happens on the screen, like, five times, really fast, in a matter of a couple seconds, and then my brain's just in there going, hold on, what? And it's always some really stupid, funny thing that you're supposed to laugh at that I usually just find irritating to begin with, and then it's repeated, and then I don't know what to do. But yeah, I don't like those at all. Chaser made his official debut. And
he's a thing. He's kind of cool.
I think it's interesting that they kind of use him to hunt down other Raymundos that are, I guess, going against their methods. It seems like they have a very certain way of doing things that they like to keep, you know, tabs of. But I don't know. I thought that was interesting to see that they were hunting down this other, you know, one of themselves and killing him.
You're too noticeable. You're gonna have to die.
And well, they don't really kill them.
Oh yeah, they get
they like reset back. Them or something like.
You're gonna get rebooted. Try again.
You know, so that's a thing that happens in this show. What else is there?
We all need to take a moment to appreciate the Brake Gunner's voice.
I
really like it.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I don't remember it. But I did happen to like his new shift cars he used.
Oh my god, in Vegas.
Dream Vegas.
Dream Vegas was like fucking made for me, bro.
I love how he goes to do the finisher and it just pops out a coin and he's like, the fuck?
It's kind of like Beast's Dice Saber in that it's a gamble, but it's flashier and I like it.
I did think that was kind of amusing. What kind of finishing move goes bust? I don't get this.
And then Massive Monster and Spin Mixer were pretty cool. I enjoyed having them around. Like,
I did find it kind of funny when he first transforms. Spin Mixer spooges on him. Sure. With Spin Mixer, he like almost falls over, like he has to like readjust himself because it's so heavy.
Yeah, that happens to me too. I gotta readjust because it's so heavy and just kind of. You learn to deal with it though.
You learn to deal with the big stone wheel, right?
That's right.
I was watching it with my friend. He's like, "Why wouldn't you use the purple one first?" Because he likes to clear purple. I guess I don't know. And I'm like, well, there's a reason for that. And he uses the cement little bullet things to lock them in the ground. And I like how his tires, for all intensive purposes, have all their own functions. Like, none of them are completely fucking useless, except for Dream Vegas, maybe. Dream Vegas, I feel like, could be, like, the most powerful shift car he has, but only if he gets 777. If he gets it, like, the whole world just explodes. But if he doesn't, he just gets one coin. But I don't know. I really like it. The fight scenes in this show, I really enjoy quite a bit.
Absolutely.
At least so far. It's a change of pace compared to Gaim. Gaim's fight scenes were a lot less over the top, and like they felt a little bit more calculated. And sometimes that could have been a little bit off-putting, and Drive kind of returns to the whole wacky gimmicks and crazy-ass things going on that can generally make the fight scenes pretty enjoyable. Chaser's monster suit is really cool. I like the way that looks.
Yeah.
Talked about that a little bit already, though.
I like the what is it? A heart and mind or whatever the two guys are called. I forgot. Heart, brain. Heart and Brian.
I hope someone actually physically does that, because people always write brain for my name. I hope at some point in some news article they write Brian instead of brain.
That would make nothing could be further from the truth than brain.
I know,
I'm really enjoying like the police and the like, case investigation aspect of the show. It kind of does bring me back to that like Double kind of thing a little bit, just because, and that's something I liked about Double, was just trying to like figure out what the fuck is going on, as opposed to, I don't know, like when they replicated it afterwards, it didn't seem as I can't think of the word now. It didn't seem as good, because it wasn't like a policeman investigating. It was just like we're high school kids investigating why one kid's pissed off at the others.
And there wasn't as much of a purpose.
Yeah, I'm like, why should I care? But like here's like police and there's crimes going on, people disappearing. Like it wasn't like, oh, you took my boyfriend, so I got a switch to kill you. Like, oh, okay, that sounds reasonable.
Something I like is that even though this is a two-parter and the case is still open, we did kind of get that like misleading trail, I guess, that led us to a different Raymundo. And so we, even though it's a two-parter, we still get like that satisfaction of bringing one case to a close, even though the bigger case is still open.
Yeah. We also got more of like Kiriko's history and that whole thing with the proto drive thrown in there too.
Yeah, I actually really like Kiriko, which is more than I can say for some of the female leads that we've been having in years. She just feels like she's got a little bit more to do, and I hope they continue to maybe expand on her character a bit.
One of Dawson's favorite lead is Yuki Joji. She is Joji Mayuki.
To remember who that was.
Joji Mayuki is Dawson's favorite. He faps to her like constantly.
It's funny because I see a lot of complaints about Kiriko on my timeline, It throws me off a little bit, because I agree, I really like Kiriko. I think she's done more in like these three episodes than a lot of these female leads do like throughout most of their shows.
Yeah.
What kind of complaints do people have? Because I've very strictly been staying away from that stuff this year.
I've seen a lot of people like call her bitch lady. Like, oh, she's just such a bitch. I don't like her at all.
I'm fine with that, though. She's a cop. She's supposed to be stern and strict with the rules. I am very much okay with that.
I know, exactly.
given some of the other characters we've had in the past, which has just been, like, maybe timid or kind of the way, I like that she's right there with him. Investigating and doing things, you know. I like her personality. I think she's fine.
Oh, she's so boring.
She got transferred to investigations.
I'm like, she comes across as quote-unquote boring because it's just how her personality is. She's a cop, like you said. People aggravate me, Aerosol.
That's why I avoid anything where people talk about the show. Like, I don't get much discussion in my timeline of Drive. I get a little bit, but I don't get people bitching too much in mine. So I'm happy with what I got. I mean, I had to listen to Keith Justice going about how he's got like you're not my dad syndrome or some bullshit like that. Like basically, he's like, I don't know how I feel. It's not Gaim, so like, dude, I fucking hope you die.
People do that every single year.
they do. But I just spent the past year watching Keith Justice like every so often because he wouldn't watch Gaim every week because he can't handle that kind of thing. Just sit here and it's like fucking go crazy about how awesome it is, which, I mean, yeah, Gaim was good, but I think he took it a little bit extreme with his nonsense. And then like Drive came along and was like, oh, this isn't Gaim. I don't know what I'm going to do. Dude, I fucking want you to just like go away. Like, Gaim is great, but step off the pedestal. And it's over. It's done with. Put it behind you. We got a new show now. There's a new guy in town. Let's welcome him. Let's hug him. We'll hug it out. And we'll hope for a good show.
Hug it out, bro.
Hug it out. Just hug it out with Drive. Shinosuke needs a hug.
I'm trying to think of what else we've got with this episode, but
I want to know more about Proto Drive.
Yeah.
Like, I'm kind of curious.
There's so many different paths that could be. That it's hard to... I mean, we're only three episodes in, so it's really hard to pinpoint which direction. The only thing that gets me is that, well, Proto Drive's purple. And Chaser's purple. Of course, that could be a red herring. if Pup Named Scooby-Doo taught me anything... is that there's red herrings here.
But there was that one time it was red herring. But then Freddy didn't want to say it was red herring because he's like, oh, no, it can't be. And then they were like, oh, it was red herring. And he was like, son of a fucking bitch.
Young Freddy has a foul mouth. When a sentence starts with, if a pup named Scooby-Doo has taught me anything.
I love a pup named Scooby-Doo so much I bought it on DVD.
Amen, brother.
Puppy named Scooby-Doo, where are you?
Where was I going with that? Oh, they're both purple. Yeah. Dawson was banished. But anyway.
There was something I wanted to say about that. I need to think of what I wanted to say now. Fuck. Proto Drive.
Proto Birth. Dante just comes in. Dante was actually in the end trailer for the Shredder movies.
I forgot that was still a thing. I legit forgot that was still a thing until I saw that. I'm like, oh yeah, we're doing that, huh? But let's see, I'm trying to think now. Let's see, information, Proto Drive.
Well, what I was getting at before my mind derailed in the Pup Named Scooby-Doo and the color purple. Belt-san
what derailed my mind?
Had that reaction toward not Hikari. And so I don't know what relation he has, if any. But it just threw me off a little bit that they made note that Belt-san knew or at least recognized Chaser. Or Chase, rather.
Yeah.
There's something there. Whether Chase was Proto Drive or not, I don't know. But Belt-san at least knew who he was in some aspect but or another.
Aren't the Raymonds? aren't they like robots that take on the appearance of people?
So we can go with that.
I mean, like, isn't that...
I don't know necessarily if you want to classify them as robots, but they're data thingies. That's okay, a much more technical term than robots.
Robots. What if Chase is just something that he's taking on the appearance of the guy who died being Proto Drive? And, maybe they still have some kind of memory retention of, or at least some of the higher-ups have memory retention of the person that they, right. The appearance that they've taken on, and then Belt-san reaches out to him and he becomes Mach. Bam.
That is a possibility that was going through my head, yes. Whether it was that far-fetched, not I won't say far-fetched, far along in my thought process, I don't know, but...
Well, I just did it in like 30 seconds, so the writers probably thought of it. If I could do it in 30 seconds, surely those Japanese bastards could. They thought of fucking chickens on your head for Tokyo, alright? They can think of this. What if we put the chicken nest on the head, and then the chicken grow from it? Oh, you're brilliant. The good script. Give me one right now. I want that one. The good idea. I have idea for next monster. The two monster. One, stick you to chair. Other one, flip the table. You're a genius, big pay raise. You get a second bag of rice.
Oh, wow. I think it's time to... to go forward and...
that it is.
You get extra 5 minutes on your break.
I don't have my jingle, buddy.
I could just sing it.
No, that's fine. We'll just go with Super Mega Force Submarines Bashuki, even though it's not a submarine.
Cha!
Yeah.
I don't know what it does. I don't pay attention when he does this. I usually zone out.
Alright, so this was All Hail Prince Vakaar.
Mega Force.
Yeah, this... Do you remember how many episodes this was?
I fell asleep.
Because Argus died and Vakaar died. I don't remember if Wallskill dying was one or two episodes in Gokaiju.
Yeah, hold on, I'm about to find
out. Or whether that was even in the same episode that Bearzorg died. I don't think it was. I don't remember.
Bitch, I'm about to find out if you just shut the fuck up.
Okay.
God damn, motherfucker.
But both of those happened. It was alright. I mean,
so. Alright. Well, let's see. Abare. Let's see. One power. They use Jack Q, as Dawson would say, and Dynaman. Let's see. It's a hero. A dream come true. The other dimension. Pirate partners. What the fuck is this? Good Jugo Kaio. The power to seize dreams. Why are we high school students? When does he die? I forgot when he died. Wait, let's see. Here's Dogoman. Alright, Wallskill. Alright, episode 38 is when Wallskill died. And Bearzorg dies in the same thing.
Okay.
It's the same episode.
I felt like they mashed episodes together, but I guess not.
No, because it says here that like the Dogormen show up, and...
Those are the red ones, right?
Those are the red ones. Because it's the Sugormen's the blue, the Dogormen's the red. Well, actually, the Dogormen come in episode before. So they mesh up a little bit, but,
I just know colors.
Colors are what pants are made of.
Yeah.
Shapes are fun. And then, so they just kind of mashed up them arriving with this episode here when they come down and then Bearzorg gets killed and Wallskill gets killed and... So that's kind of how that goes down.
Okay. So it was pretty much a direct rip, but I thought it was still enjoyable. I say this a lot, but Super Mega Force gets a lot of flack from people watching Gokaiju.
It really does.
And at the core, I don't think this episode was bad. There really wasn't, for me, any sort of flaws about it. Sure, I watched it in Japanese before, but
that means the Japanese was better automatically.
Obviously, because it's not English. But I mean, ignoring that aspect, it doesn't have, just because you've seen the Gokaiju doesn't mean that the Super Mega Force one is bad. And I mean, they can say all they want about the dialogue or the acting or whatever. I particularly in this episode, I didn't think it was bad at all, and that could have a little bit to do with the fact that I've really enjoyed Jason Smith's episodes.
Yeah.
He writes really good for the show. And
like, that was the first thing I noticed. The episode started, and it's written by Jason Smith. I'm like, all right, this is going to be a fun one. I'm in for something. I'm in for a treat.
His dialogue writing is very competent.
Yes.
So I generally get a kick out of his episodes. So I don't think it was really bad at all. There's not a whole lot to say that we hadn't said several years ago. and there's a couple things that...
I liked when Jake wanted to take the skyship out.
Can we take it? Vacation. Please, please, please.
Come on, go say. Don't be a douche.
It was like a teen asking his dad for the car.
Don't cock block me. I'm trying to impress Gia.
And then they fucking have a picnic on the very edge of the skyship, and then they get attacked. I'm like, bitch, you could have fell off. But no, they survived. They're like, oh, you know, hold on or whatever. I don't know what they did. Another weird kind of thing was Noah's had this whole I'm Joe thing.
That so much so that he got Joe's hair at one point.
Yeah, he did. I was going to mention that. He got Joe's hair at one point.
And people were all pissy.
Look
how lazy they are.
That happened. And then, there's this one part in the episode where he's just like, I'll take the robot. And he just kind of nonchalantly walks through the battle toward Argus. And I'm like, okay, Noah, you a badass. He took his badass pill so he can go fight Argus, which is
watch
really
out, we got a badass over here.
But, yeah, Noah sometimes suffers from Joe syndrome, and his rather nerd-like demeanor usually becomes very stoic and quote-unquote badass. But I
just get a good laugh out of it, so...
And given how they've portrayed Noah throughout Megaforce and Super Megaforce, and the fact that, despite the fact that he's a nerdy computer guy, he does have a very determined attitude and can be efficient at physical combat. So I don't see it. I think they've rid it. Rid it? Whoa.
They've writ.
They've writ. They wrote it well enough to cover their bases, at least enough for me to be alright with it. But yeah, I thought it was an alright episode. So I don't really have anything to complain about.
I was fine with it. Isn't Vrak is back next?
Yes,
or...
Vrak and back. I am a mess. Vrak is back. Part one is next week. Yes.
So some more Ghost Sager action.
So we shift into Ghost Sager footage. Haven't had that in a while.
Cause I'm shifting in a turbo gear. Yeah, all I had no fear.
So yeah, we'll see how that goes. This was also the first episode with no, there was no legendary changes outside of Wolf Warrior.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed that just because, you know, Wolf Warrior, Defender of Truth.
I liked it because they, like, took the wolf, because it was marvelous in the GoCatcher footage, and then they made it Orion here. And it was just, it was such a quick thing.
Orion got to be a badass.
And... they actually shot original footage for that.
Well, they had to.
They
used different changers, bro.
Yeah. Wow. Golly gee. So I like the fact that they apparently looked at this footage and went, well, who looks the coolest? And they're like, okay, that guy does. We'll make him turn into him. Plus, Wolf Warrior did do good in Morphin Madness, so.
Yeah, and I love that suit, and he is the Defender of Truth. He's a frequent podcast guest.
But yeah, we'll see how Ghost Sager goes next week. Because now it's time for ramble time.
Yeah.
I'm just going to move along into Ben 10, because
Well, I do want to really quickly, because okay. I didn't watch this week's Pokemon, but I just do want to say that because I didn't get to do this segment last week. All these Mega Evolutions look really awesome, and I want that game like right now. Like, there's just so much I'm excited for about it, and I think it's something I think it was Dawson has said before. Like, these Megas, it gets you excited for like the remakes, and like, I love Beedrill. I used a Beedrill on my Fire Red for a long time into the game. So, like, for me to see, like, a Mega Beedrill, it's like, dude, that's fucking sweet. You know, Pidgeot is everything. Ash needs to get his Pidgeot back just to Mega Evolve it now. Steelix, I think, looks cool. I'm indifferent as to using it, because I'm just like, I've never used a Steelix.
I keep using that fucking Glalie in the demo, and I'm tired of looking at it.
You know, I use my Glalie is on my Ruby team, and I love that thing. So seeing
its big furry chin.
Well, you know, it likes to go all natural and doesn't want to shave itself. But seeing like
speaking of that demo, everyone hyped the shit out of that thing, and I'm really fucking bored. I was like, this demo is going to be the greatest thing. I need my demo code. Where's my demo code? Oh, my God. I'm like, oh, cool, demo. And I'm still playing it. And, like, fucking within an hour, you're done with the 10 missions or whatever. And I'm like, this was stupid. I just got really angry.
I haven't even played mine yet. Because I saw so many people just blowing up about it on Twitter.
Where did y'all get a demo code
from? And then I just, like, happened to click on my email. I'm like, oh, I got one of the demo codes. Bully for me. Then I proceeded to download it and then completely forget about it. So,
like,
I get around to doing that.
It's all right to sit down for like to blow off an hour, but the amount of hype people were putting in the stupid demo is, I'm like, oh cool, I got to see Mega Glalie and the starters. I haven't seen enough of them yet. And here's a Glalie. FYI, I don't like Glalie.
Oh, come on, man.
Now, what is the deal with like the transferring stuff over to the main game? Like, is that the only way you can get the Mega Stones for Onyx, or not Onyx, but Steelix and Glalie? Or?
I don't think so. Okay. I think it's just like a bonus. Because, as far as I know, Japan is the only one that had Steelix in their demo.
Japan's the only one that has Steelix. Everywhere else in the world has...
Everywhere else has Glalie, which I view as Steelix's poop. I would hope not, because then you can't get the Steelix Megastone, but they'll probably be like, oh, there's an event thing, and Japan gets a Glalie. I don't know. But I doubt it. I think it's probably going to be just a bonus thing. Or if it is, they'll do another one at some point.
They give you the other one or whatever. Like, they don't leave you stranded for too long.
You do get heart scales, Pokeballs, and I think heal balls or something. Heart scales are helpful, at least.
But yeah, and I love the idea of like flying to like those little islands and being able to get the other legendaries. Mm-hmm. Now I just need a way to get the other starters from the other regions. And
they said between XY, Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, and like the certain event guys, you'll be able to get all the Pokemon between those four games.
It's like that. Well, then how, I guess the starters would be event things?
Well, the X and Y starters and the Kalos starters and the Kanto starters are in X and Y.
Right, and then here you get the Hoenn starters.
Hoenn starters and...
So you need Johto, Unova, and Sinnoh.
I'm just telling you what the director said.
Well, because I read
I don't know what they're doing.
I read one place that said all of them, like all the legendaries would be able to be captured, And then I read something else that said all Pokemon would be able to be captured. So I'm trying to figure out which one's correct.
I only seen the one about the Pokemans.
I read another one. Well, another one I read like listed it that way. Like it had the same exact like the same article. I said no, it says all the legendaries. Well, yeah. Okay. Whatever.
I can get everyone anyway off my old games.
Well, yeah.
I
mean, that's easy and easily enough accomplished, but I just don't want to do that.
Yeah, no,
I don't like doing all that nonsense. I don't know, I just never did. I'm weird.
It's okay.
Fuck Brian.
Okay.
So,
Just fuck you, Brian.
Hey, you want to move on to Ben 10?
Sure.
Let's go to Bean 10.
As of this recording, we're now 3 episodes into Arc 7.
Yep.
I will say that the 3 episodes in Arc 7 have been very filler, but I've laughed quite a bit. And I have found them pretty enjoyable.
Wait, what 3 episodes are we...
Episodes. Clyde 5, Rook Tales, and Charm School.
Okay, I think Clyde 5 is the last one I watched.
Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday's episodes.
Yeah. I have to watch Tuesday and Wednesday's, but I did enjoy Clyde 5. As for the others, I really enjoyed all those different Bens and their little, like, quirks and different monsters. That whole thing, it really did feel like a 10th anniversary was the idea for that. And...
Well, not to mention, I think they were the 199 and 200th episodes.
Oh, okay.
As well. So, but
yeah, so it was definitely very fitting for all of that, and I really enjoyed having all that. And Professor Paradox is just awesome.
Those two episodes are probably some of the best, just of Ben 10 in general. They're really, really good episodes.
There was the one where Rook went punk, and I seriously zoned out for most of that episode.
It wasn't a very good one.
that's why I zoned out.
But that was as far as my enjoyment went.
Then there was where Ben 10 went on trial and he had that like sleazebag lawyer. What I enjoyed about that is that they acknowledged the fact that they keep changing the animation. Like, that was one of those things that I just absolutely loved because I thought it was hilarious. Like, look, even Great Leader Asmuth has changed looks and voices like 3 times. that's one of those in things that I always enjoy when they do.
Something that was kind of interesting to note is that after that episode, when we get into the Weapon 11 episodes, Ben has full control of Alien X.
He does. It's kind of scary.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to think about that now.
And then they had... Then there's the whole thing with Kevin. And I really hate all of that. I hate everything about it. It's just upsetting to me. And...
Now, There's some things that you can get away with retconning, and I'm okay with it. But to retcon 2 shows worth of backstory for this character,
like Kevin's one of my favorite
don't
characters.
Like it is asinine as shit.
Honestly, the whole thing felt like a really pissy fan just redoing everything he didn't like.
It's one of those fans that goes, well, you know what? If it's like those few, like, well, you know what? If I had adopted Shin Hendra, I would have done it this way. That's exactly what this is. Well, you know what? If I had gotten, you know, been able to write Kevin's story, this is what I would have made it. Oh, really? Oh, fuck you, buddy. Because guess what? You didn't.
And to be fair, I mean, the idea of it is fine if it were just something separate. You know, if this had happened instead, that would be fine. But having them together and having this essentially rewrite everything we know, it just feels like it feels spiteful. It just feels like he's doing it solely to rewrite.
It's like a big fuck you, buddy.
Yeah. Which, judging by, you know, his Ask FM tends to be the sort of way he's going about it, I like guess.
Especially, like, you know, it's like all the people that like Alien Force and Ultimate Alien. Yeah, fuck you. Yeah, that's what I think of it right here. Going to change your whole story. Ha ha ha. Lick my nuts. Fuck Jet Ray. Like, oh, all right. I feel like he ends every sentence with "fuck Jet Ray."
one of the rooters was part Jet Ray.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, he made Jet Ray a villain. That's right. Fucking douchebag.
Really, the entire thing with the rooters was completely like them as a whole. I don't mind their concept.
Black Ops Plumbers is a great concept. Like, I like that.
To do that entire thing with both Kevin's backstory and the mutant kids' backstories and everything, just it was a big middle finger.
And then what's even better? He gave Arjit a more important role because he likes Arjit. Like, he sucks Arjit's quills and his little armadillo dick.
I noticed Arjit's been in a lot of Omniverse. Compared to Alien Force and Ultimate
Alien. In Alien Force and Ultimate Alien, he was in like maybe once every like 10 episodes or so. If that. Now he's like every third episode, like, hey, Arjit. Oh, fuck. Didn't we just see you? Yeah, you know, I'm back again. Just chilling, doing my thing. Being bros with Kevin. Like, can you leave? can you just go? Is that an option?
But
get the fuck out.
Yeah, my head canon deleted the rooters from existence.
Unfortunately, I feel like that's gonna come back and bite us in the ass at some point. I just feel it.
we don't have that much episodes left.
well, we got a decent chunk, maybe. Looking at now 17, but
I'm trying to get my headcanon to delete Derek Wyatt from canon.
Something I'm looking forward to at the end of this set of 10 is that the last two episodes of this set are It's a Mad Ben World, which from the looks of it seems to be, I guess, going into Mad Ben's world.
I'm so excited.
Like, which is just the random Australian Ben, which I love.
Last week we were like, we want to know more about this Australian Ben. Like, and we get to find out.
I want to know more about Bizarro Zombie Ben. Like, what the fuck?
get to witness the Australian war we were talking about.
That could be fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's I got way too angry over this series earlier this week. You know,
I'll cut his own penis off.
I'm not gonna rant about it here because I can't do that to myself again.
Well, yeah, he only has one penis.
Okay. You bet. Korra, Doctor Who, which one?
Oh, it doesn't matter to me.
Let's go with Korra. Korra the Explorer.
Okay. This was a.
I'm loving book 4.
Okay, we'll go with that. I was gonna say awful. But
I love old Toth.
Calm the fuck down. I'm kidding.
Volkov, like, beating the fuck out of Korra.
It's funny, you no sounded effort. So convincing. It's the thing, because I was going to be like, whoa, back up, because we have a differing opinion on something now, and I need to talk this out.
No, Toph was fucking amazing. Like, I've always liked Toph, but old Toph is, like, the best. old Toph was basically, I'm tired of dealing with your shit, Korra.
I like how she was like, you know there's metal in your body, right? She's like, what? Like, I thought Beifong got it all out. No, my kids suck at metal bending. Well, can you get it out? Do you know who you're fucking talking to? Are you fucking retarded? I'm sorry.
The funny thing is that, subtract all the curse words from that, that pretty much is how it went. She pretty much did say that her kids kind of suck.
Like, yeah, they never really got the hang of that metal bending thing.
What I love is that, like, yeah, she said, well, they never really got the hang of metal bending. And it's funny because they're, what, like the two strongest metal benders in the world?
Yeah, you watch them. Like, they kick ass at metal bending and beat the fuck out of people. I mean, Lin is the chief of police of Republic City, and Suyin leads that other city of metal benders, and they're, like, super respected and important, and she's like, yeah, fuck them. They're stupid. Like, oh, all right, I'm sorry.
I gotta give credit to the voice actress for old Toph. I almost said old Ben. Ben. For old Toph, because she definitely got sort of the rhythm down, I guess. Not mannerisms, but vocal mannerisms, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The way Toph speaks, that sort of rougher way that she has about her, she really got that down. And I'm impressed, because sometimes when you kind of swap out voice actors like that, they don't always kind of pick up on the nuance of the character.
I like how at the end of the last episode, when you just see her, it's like, hey, Twinkle Toes. Yes. Like, it set it up perfectly. Like, here's old Toph, and you're like, I need more Toph in my life. I didn't realize just how much Toph I was missing out on.
Yeah. She's just as great as she was when she was a kid.
Yeah.
She really is. And that's what makes me happy. And then that king, he needs to fucking, someone needs to just put him out of his misery. That dude is a fucking fuck. I just don't like him. I feel bad for Mako. And there's Bolin over here, like, no, the crazy Zelda chick, she's just fine. Dude, like, I get it, like, she's all hot and all, and her name's Zelda, but she's fucking insane. She's trying to take over. Like, no, you're wrong. Bolin, come on. We all know you're an idiot. Like, stop it. You know you're an idiot. So, fucking Polin. Suck my dick.
Kavira. At the end of book 3, we were all like, that bitch up to something. I wasn't quite expecting this.
No.
And
when you say we, he means him.
I was expecting a working with Zaheer, or just being a creeper. No?
Just being a creeper? Just wanting Mondo's cup?
She's a... What a bee.
Apartment 23.
I like her.
She's a great villain.
And And I think it was it Bolin who said that she's a lot like Korra herself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is understandable. I think that's a great comparison that the characters themselves made. But I think that makes her really interesting, is that she is so much like Korra that sort of like, it's like fighting someone who's like Korra, only she's kind of used her powers in a very different way.
Like, I like how you see, like, it's funny because Bolin sits there and is like, we go places, we bring freedom to people. But then at the same time, like, we see it and we're like, what you're seeing is they go there and they go, hey, we want some protection money. You're going to join with us and swear allegiance to me. We're going to let these guys fuck your shit up. All right, well, guess we'll join you. Like, well, fuck, you don't give them a choice. Like, you're not doing it out of goodness of your heart. You're just trying to gain more power.
Yeah. She's a very cold villain. I'm looking forward to what she does.
And Cora's cousins grew up. That's creepy, huh?
Oh, right.
I like the one scene of this episode that Tenzin was like, can I count on you guys to look for Cora? And he's like, well, you can count on one of us. I don't know about these chicks.
Milo is awesome. And then now he's like somewhat grown up Milo, and he's even better. Like, I didn't think that was possible. But he is. I love Milo.
It's funny because I always forget there's a third kid. She doesn't do a whole lot. Like, Jenora was such an important character, and Milo was hysterical, and the other one, I don't even remember what her name was. She's always there.
I don't know.
She's a not Damn as it. Important child.
Damn it, Brian. No, I don't know. We'll go with third child. Child three.
Her name's Iki.
Jenora, Iki, Milo, and Rohan are their kids.
The writers of Rohan are their kids? That's awesome.
Is Iki the other girl?
Yeah. Because Rohan was a baby. I don't think he's really gotten much screen time.
I don't think I've seen him at all. He's probably still breastfeeding.
I like how the girl we can't remember his name is Iki. Anyway. I don't really have a whole lot else.
I want to know what it is that fucking, what's his name? I can't think of that guy's name.
I'm not sure.
No, the guy from the second season who was a douche and he has his Julie. Oh. But I can't think. I can't think of his name.
Varric.
Varric. I want to know what Varric's doing. What the fuck is that bastard's name?
I don't know. Like, the technology he's building looks very futuristic. I'm kind of curious as to where this is going.
They're playing with tree roots. They're building super tech out of tree roots. Spirit tree roots, mind you.
Yeah.
That's where all the good shit comes from.
Comes from my dick.
Your penis is a tree root.
That's right. Represent.
I think that calls for a Doctor Who.
Speaking of penises.
No.
So, first I'd like to say that I really enjoyed last week's train episode. That was really fun. And then we get on to this week, and I loved it. I loved having a little tiny TARDIS that Clara just kept in her purse. Like, it was just funny to me.
The visual gags with the small TARDIS and like just the hand coming out and the scene on the train tracks where he like thinged his way off.
Like,
dude,
like the Addams Family. Like, oh fuck, what did I think of that? Like, that shit was hilarious. And I really like the premise of this episode that there's an entire universe that just consists of two dimensions, and they don't understand the idea of three, and they're trying to like understand it. And so, you know, all these things happen. They can't really communicate with us in three dimensions because they only exist in two. I liked that a lot.
Yeah, it was a really neat concept. Something I just really enjoyed about this episode was seeing Clara act like the Doctor.
Oh my god, that was fantastic. You're a doctor of what? I don't know, but I think I just picked that title because it sounds good.
And, you know, not just because it was, you know, kind of fun to see her act like that, but because it kind of put the Doctor in a position where he's seeing someone else be the Doctor. So it's kind of like a swapping of the roles. And like I love that because
I look like.
It kind of lets him see how he treats people. Mm-hmm. And we kind of really get this impression that it kind of, well, it itself left kind of a bad impression on him. Because we see at the end of the episode where she's kind of pressuring him to say that she was a good doctor. And he's like, you're a great doctor. But goodness has nothing to do with it. And yeah. I love that. He's kind of like, where he's finally acknowledging or at least seeing a little bit of how he's not always the greatest person.
I really dug that. Like that entire end scene with him acknowledging that that he's not as great of a person as he might make himself out to be. And then at the same time, we didn't really get to see anything after that bit, but with the potential of Clara kind of grasping on the fact that he sometimes has to be that way in order mm-hmm. for the best outcome to happen, that sometimes being a jerk is something that needed to be done.
Yeah.
And so we didn't really get to see her reaction show words so much because that scene quickly shifted to Missy fondling herself over Clara or whatever. But I don't know what the fuck's up with that bitch, but we'll find out, I guess.
I really liked I lost my train of thought completely. I'm sorry. Like, I had a whole thing I wanted to say, and I like how she's lying to the black guy. Like, I mean, she's just completely lying her vagina off. Like there's no tomorrow. I don't understand why this is funny. And, like, he didn't even catch on. Like, he... And then the doctor is like, you're doing a great job lying. She's like, oh, okay, thanks. And he's like, no, I meant to me, bitch. Oh, shit. Calm your tits.
Oh, yeah, that's not important.
Calm your tits, Aisha.
She fucking didn't even answer the phone at the end. He's like, oh, she brought up that option on the iPhone that's like, send text message.
But yeah, I like everything that's happening in this program. I love 12 so much. And was that his like doctor theme thing there when he's like, I'm the doctor, I'm fucking protecting this plane, you go the fuck back into your 2-dimension universe. I better not see your dumb asses back here again.
I like that we got that because we haven't really had a big grandiose I'm the doctor, get the fuck away from Earth scene with 12 yet.
Yeah.
And so that was really cool because I always liked those scenes.
Yeah, I like to use swear words when I talk. If anyone hasn't noticed, I think the whole thing would be much better if there were more swear words in the sentences.
Clearly.
Brian, can you tell I like swear words?
Not at all.
Didn't think so. Trying to keep it on the DL.
But yeah, it was a good episode. I liked it.
Good episode, I liked it.
I am blanking on what else we talk about.
Ninja Turtles?
I guess Turtles was a thing this week.
Oh yeah, I completely fucking forgot.
So, and again, I'm going to do my last week update. I fucking thought Bigfoot was fantastic. That entire episode made me almost die laughing. Like, you had, like, the hunter guy, you know, and then Bigfoot falls in love with him at the end. And then, like, she's trying to get Donatello, and, like, Donnie's all after April. And they're like, you know, that's kind of how April must feel with you around. He's like, dude, shut the fuck up. Like, whoa, calm your nerves. Chill out. And then this week with April's mom, I liked that. I liked how we got that little bit of, like, backstory. I don't even know if that's real. I don't know how much of that's real. I guess it's real. I don't know. And then she's like a creature.
From what I gathered, the Krang implanted April's mom's memories into the fake April's mom. So I think it's probably a real enough backstory. Whether it is or not, I don't know, but I can believe it.
As I mentioned last week, with the whole shrunken head thing and the fingers kind of being like, yeah, really creepy, kind of nightmare feel, it was topped this week.
It was.
with her monster form. Dear God. It was just so grotesque.
Me and Kat are watching this and we're like, that's nightmare fuel for kids.
Yeah.
Kaylee was freaked the fuck out.
The turtles are there and all of a sudden they just got like tentacles coming out of them and stuff. And then the mutation itself was very grotesque. It reaches that point where I'm not going to say this is like, oh my God, this needs to be rated PG-13 or some shit. But it borders that almost too creepy sort of thing for Nickelodeon. I don't know. But
yeah.
You hit the nail on the head. This show does creepy.
Kaylee was freaking out. She's like, what's wrong with him? I'm like, I don't know. I can't answer your question.
It always impresses me what kind of like visual stuff they can get away with. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like the content's not really offensive or like too adult or anything like that. But the visual kind of stuff is, it's very creepy. It's very terrifying. I always remember back to when Ice Cream Cat first transformed into Ice Cream Cat. And you just see its corpse like melt away. And I'm like, dear God, that's horrifying.
I love Ice Cream Kitty, though.
It's just like this kind of very dull gore that I'm still so surprised that they get away with sometimes. But I don't mind it. I think it's kind of fun to talk about it.
I'm still like dying to get my Ice Cream Kitty action figure.
They're making one, right?
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like I need that like right now.
But yeah, this entire season so far has had a very horror sort of vibe to it, right down to the blatant horror references in the first episode.
Well, and you know the first two seasons were like really good, and it's one of those things where you're like, all right, how are they gonna top this? Where are they gonna go from here? And then like we've had this season so far has been like, wow, this is really good.
Yeah,
like it's yeah. If it keeps going like this, it is gonna end up being like, well, you know, better than we've already had before, which isn't bad by any stretch of the imagination.
And the horror homages didn't really stop with the first episode either, because this episode was basically one big love letter to The Thing. I mean, it was basically The Thing, which is okay. I do think like the horror theme with these past few weeks fits the month, the timing of these episodes, but it does kind of get a little repetitive where it's like, oh, look, another horror movie. Yay.
Yeah, I mean, it would be nice to see something a little bit different than that, but I mean, I'm definitely still enjoying it all so far. And I don't think they've made a bad episode or anything, so that makes me happy.
So, how was your day?
My day was fab.
I got naked with your mom.
So, real quick, I don't think either one of you watched Gotham.
No.
But I wanted to mention a scene that just, I had to like pause the episode because I couldn't stop laughing. And to set it up, it's Gordon and Bullock, they're investigating this crime, of course, and they're talking to this old man, and it eventually turns out that the old man is connected with the crime. And they're like kind of threatening him. And he's like, what are you going to do? I'm an old man. I'm already dying. And Bullock immediately goes to, I'll help you die faster, you tourist. And I just, it was just like the most like American thing I have seen on TV in a long time. I had to pause it and just like take a breather. Just the fact, like, out of context, that's funny. In context, the fact that he's yelling this at a 90-year-old man is hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I need to catch up with this show.
Speaking of superhero stuff, Kevin, I know you watch Arrow and Flash.
Yeah.
And I'm all caught up on them, so I didn't know if you had anything you wanted to say.
The only thing about either one that I haven't seen, like, this week's episode. So I saw, like, the first two episodes of each. Starting with Flash, I've really enjoyed it so far. I do like how this is, and it's something we knew going in, they have, it's a little bit more supernatural, like superpowered type based, as opposed to like Arrow, which is a lot more grounded in reality.
Yeah.
And you know, has you know, you got your, in Arrow you have like, you know, archers and like, oh, this is like, just, you know, this guy's, oh, it's a pissed off firefighter who got burned really bad, or it's the Royal Flush Gang, where this is like, no, this is Weather Wizard, and I forgot the name of the guy who can split himself, and but like the, you know, there's a lot more powers based, and I really like that. I like the effect of him running. I think they nailed that really well.
Yeah, they did.
Because it had the potential to be really bad.
Yeah. That was one of the things I was most worried about going in, was how are they going to show this?
and make it effective. And I'm liking the characters a lot. Like, it in some sense, you can tell, like, okay, this is made by the same people, because there is, like, that same similar setup of, we have Team Flash, and we have, like, the people who are kind of leading him around and helping him, and you have like the cops and then the chick he's kind of into, but she's got somebody else, so you can see that, okay, there's a similar premise here, but at the same time it still feels different enough from Arrow that I kind of don't mind it. You know, it starts off, you know, I'm Barry Allen, I'm the best man alive. I'm like, it sounds familiar. I feel like I've heard something like this before. Yeah, hey, that other show that goes, my name is Oliver Queen. You know. You're like, I kind of wish you guys would get a little different of a shtick when you're going to do this, but, you know, whatever. We're just going to ignore it and move on with our lives.
Yeah, but what's nice is that the Flash feels, and I think I mentioned this last week when we were talking about it, but the Flash feels more lighthearted. You know, there's a lot more comedic moments going around.
Yeah.
Whereas the Arrow is, you know, much darker settings. It's, you know, things feel a little bit more grim.
there's a lot more darker settings, a lot more darker colors.
Yeah.
You know, he was wearing a lot of green, dark green. And, you know, and then Diggle goes out, he's all in black. It's only now that when Roy comes out and he's got that red, that's a little bit more colorful. You know, when Canary was on, she's wearing all black. And they operate a lot at night. Everything's happening. You know, he shows up and, like, for some reason people are at their office building in the middle of the night. Like, why aren't you at home with your family, you fuck? Like, he shows up in the middle of the night, like an office building. You have failed this city. And, you know, whereas Flash, this is happening during the day. You know, I mean, there's a little bit of nighttime thing, but a lot of it's during the day activity. He's in, it's not like the bright red like you would think of from like the Justice League cartoon, but it is, you know, it's still he's got the yellow and the red, and so it's a lot more colorful and happy than what we have with Arrow. Also, I just beat the Elite Four on Soul Silver, so that's a thing.
I wanted to put that out there for everyone who's following with this. I'm so happy. Finally did that shit. but I love how Mammo Swine just hid behind me. Like, I'm going to block a Mammo Swine with my body. but no, and then Arrow, I got very sad when Sarah died, because she's a really good character, and there's all this, you know, Ollie and Sarah, and then the history, and then she came in and she was this badass. You know, even if she does have the whole League of Assassins thing going on, but I know at the same time I go, okay, in order for Laurel to become Canary, which is what has to happen because comic books, she has to go away somehow. And there has to be something to spur Laurel to train, to learn to fight, to become the Canary, to take up that mantle in her sister's place. And so as much as it sucks and it's upsetting, it's one of those necessary things that kind of has to happen, I guess.
Yeah. But, and at first I was kind of hesitant about it, because Laurel just didn't, the way they were presenting her, she just didn't seem like the kind of person to really go out and do that. But more and more as we get into this season, especially with the episode that just aired today, it's becoming a lot more believable, you know, that she is a person who can do this stuff, because you're kind of watching her become increasingly angry, and just like, she needs some way to vent. She's like kind of going out and doing very risky things now.
Yeah, well, in last week's episode, she goes out there, she goes to the hospital where that guy is. She says that she lies to the cops to get in to go talk to him. And then she starts like, you're not going to tell me anything? How's your arm feel? Like, fucking like breaks his arm some more. I'm like, oh, shit. He just backed the fuck up away from her. She kills me too. Like,
and something I like from this episode today, I won't get too much into it, but we see some repercussions from these risks that she's taking, because she's starting to do stuff more like what we saw with the guy in the hospital. And, you know, there's some pretty nasty repercussions from that, which is nice to see. It's kind of like driving her even further to like, okay, now she has a reason to train. Now she has a reason to like start learning how to fight.
Yeah, and we know, you know, from all like the casting announcements and everything, they're bringing in Wildcat.
Nice. I'm glad.
Who is one of the people that is historically related to her and training her and everything. And so that should be pretty interesting to see where they go from here. But I forgot who's playing him. But yeah, so that, you know, that character is going to come in at some point in this season. You know, and then we get to see Thea, and Thea is training to be a badass with Malcolm Merlyn.
Yeah.
And I was glad to see Thea again. I just think she's kind of hot. So I like her. But I thought it was funny that they brought in Tommy for the flashback. Like, the whole thing with Hong Kong, he's just coming back, and, you know, it's like, oh, we just email people I'm alive, and then he's like, yeah, your email got activated, so I thought maybe you'd be alive, and he has to, like, kidnap his friend to keep from having to kill his friend. And so he had to be all creative about it, and I want to know what, I want to see what's happening with that, with the flashback scene, and what the fuck is going on with Amanda Waller, because she's, I mean, I know the character, so I know she's a shady bitch, but like, what is happening here? Like, you know, because the last couple of seasons, everything was leading to something. And so I want to see where this one's leading. And, what, Diggle's got a baby. That's a thing. like, I just don't even care enough. Felicity is like awesome. I love Diggle. No. I love Felicity so much. And I really like Brandon Routh. Like, he's just fantastic. Granted, it's hard to see him as anything other than
Shaw.
And Shaw, but he comes in and it's, you know, now I didn't watch him as Superman. I never saw that movie, so I'm fine with that. But he comes in as Ray Palmer, and I think he does a really good Ray Palmer.
He does, yeah.
Now I want to see if they're gonna when and how they're gonna go the full extension and just make him into the Atom.
I'm curious to see if there's not some like little crossover down the line with him maybe hanging out with the Flash people, I guess, and maybe that's kind of how they kind of move him towards getting the powers, because as you mentioned earlier, Arrow's a little more grounded and the Flash kind of delves into powers a little bit more, so it would be a little bit more understandable to see him kind of use them in that show as opposed to Arrow.
Or it just to get them from something involving, you know, what's going on with them in Star Labs and everything else, you know, because that's I mean, everyone on that show in Flash has gotten their powers from that one explosion at Star Labs, and that one night, the incident with the particle accelerator. So, you know, but they're becoming accustomed to these people and having to deal with this kind of. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with that, but. Yeah, I mean, they're incorporating a lot more characters from the comics and you know, I mean, the two people he hangs out with, the Flash hangs out with, are fucking Killer Frost and Vibe. So, you know, and then, what's the name? And then they mentioned in Flash last week, they mentioned, Ronnie, yeah. Firestorm.
And, you know, he's coming in a few episodes. We get to see a little bit more of him this week's episode.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and, you know, that was bugging me the whole time, because I'm like, Ronnie, this name sounds so familiar, why can I not get this? And eventually it, like, clicked. I'm like, oh, he's fucking Firestorm, duh.
Yeah, so it's, you know, that's one of those things, like, I'm looking forward to seeing, because I liked Firestorm for a long time, just because I used to watch the Super Friends on Cartoon Network, and Firestorm was there, and I just thought he looked cool. But yeah, I like having the two shows. I liked having that little like cameo appearance by each person in the other show in the first episode.
And they're gonna take that even further.
Well, yeah, they got a whole crossover going on. Yeah. So that should be interesting. But yeah, I mean, I guess if Dawson were here, it'd be a little more easier to. He'd have something else to say. Like, oh, well, I'm fucking stupid. Like, oh, thanks, Dawson.
Something I've been noticing recently is they've been talking a lot more about Coast City in both shows. They mentioned Coast City today in Arrow, and I know they've mentioned it before in that show as well, but...
Yeah, they have.
Hell, back in episode one of The Flash, where they were doing their, like, test run of him, it was at the Carol Ferris airport.
Yeah, I remember. I do remember that.
Like, really cool. So, I don't know. I'm curious if that's... If it's just like a funny kind of reference, that's fine. But just the frequency it's been mentioned recently, I'm curious as to see whether or not that leads to something.
They drop a lot of like little Easter eggs and things that people, and then like they had Shaw's little presentation, and he's like, "We're gonna rename Shawing City into Star City, give it a new name and a new look." I'm like, "All right, this is see where we're going with this." There's a lot of like little things here and there that, like, it's fine if you don't know, because I know I don't know all of them, so you don't notice, and you just think it's something that looks, you know, oh, it's neat that they're doing whatever. But then when you do know the stuff, you're like, oh, hey, that's, you know, that's so and so, or that's this they're talking about, and or they, you know, they thought to include this, and then it gets that little bit extra enjoyment in there. But yeah, it's I love these shows. I'm so happy that we have them.
Yeah, this year, like this season of Arrow and The Flash, well, it's only its first season, but they're turning out to be really good. I'm definitely liking the season of Arrow a lot more than I did when I first started the show.
So. Well, you know, you can, the thing is with Arrow, you could tell in season one that they're getting their sea legs. It's the first season, so they're trying to figure out how to do the show, and see how they're going to do this and how the thing's going to work and set up the characters. And then second season came along and they really hit it. They had Slade, they did the whole, you know, the Mirakuru thing. Part of what I think Arrow Flash is going to benefit from is the fact that it's the same people. So they've already spent 2 years making a show like this. Yeah. Not exactly like this, because it's a little more supernatural, superpower based, but they've done a superhero show for 2 years. So they kind of know how to write, how to tell a story, how to make the whole thing even. And so they probably won't have as much of that growing pains. And yeah, they got to sort of develop these different characters, but they know how to do it, and they know how to write the stories, whereas they're trying to not have learned all of it at one time.
But, yeah, and it definitely shows too. Even if we're only three episodes into The Flash, it definitely shows that they, you know a little bit more of what they're doing now.
Yeah, I think both shows have the potential to last for a while. I mean, I love what they're doing with the whole Barry trying to find his mother's killer, who is obvious to people who know The Flash.
Yeah.
You know, it's another one of those things that, you know, if you know the comic books, you see what they're doing, and if you don't, then you still have something fun to watch and something that still looks neat. Which is part of, I think, the appeal of the shows, is that it's great for people who know the characters, and because they can get enjoyment out of it from one aspect, but then people who don't know anything about them can watch the show and be like, this is a fucking sweet show, and still watch it and still enjoy it. They won't get the same enjoyment because they're not a comic book, like, know-it-all person who has, you know, this great history of the character, but they can still watch it and enjoy it from a different perspective.
And it does have the potential of being a nice little gateway into that.
To get into that world of the comics. Yeah. What gets me now is that they're doing this whole Batman, Superman movie, Justice League. And I mean, you can't do it. You cannot do it without at least The Flash, if not also Green Arrow. And they've said a lot of times, the TV, these shows are in their own universe. These movies are in their own universe. And you can't help but compare, though. What are they going to do in the movie? Because this is already pretty badass, and it's TV. It's not even a movie budget. It's a TV show's budget. So what are they going to do? How are they going to find people that are going to be able to differentiate themselves from these guys? Because that's what's going to happen. There's going to be the inevitable comparison to whoever is movie Green Arrow and Stephen Amell, and whoever is movie Flash and Grant Gustin. There's no way around it. It's like when people sit there and compare Henry Cavill to Brandon Routh. That's going to happen because they're both Superman. Or Ben Affleck to, you know, the other assholes who've been Batman. There's been like a billion of them. Like, they're going to compare Ben Affleck to Adam West. Like, well, Adam West would have handled it completely differently if he were Batman in the situation. Well, yeah, because he'd have been like, bam, pow. Like, golly gee, Robin, let's climb up that building that's not sideways at all.
Golly gee.
Holy cannolis, Batman. This pills made my dick shrink so it doesn't bulge out of the spandex is working.
Oh, God. I think we've run our course here.
Okay, everyone knows about that, right? They had to give him like a blow. They had to take something, the spandex and the penis. I watched something where he talked about it. I didn't know that,
and that kind of makes me sad.
I watched something where they talked about that. He was like, yeah, I had to like take something, and it would like keep him from getting overly large and bulging out of the spandex. Being inappropriate for TV.
Thank you for that. My life is now complete.
Everything's complete once you've talked about Burt Ward's penis.
Alright.
I mean, the guy's name is Dick Grayson.
Alright, so since Dawson died midway through this podcast...
We can only hope Dawson died.
And the question is his responsibility. We're gonna...
I love how we just kind of wash our hands of it. This is Dawson's doing. We have nothing to do with it, guys.
We're gonna keep the Beyond Six Ranger...
The Beyonce?
Beyonce Ranger. Question.
Who's your favorite Beyonce Ranger?
Michelle Williams.
We're gonna let that go another week. Just
the fourth Destiny Child chick no one remembers.
So now it's time for
Final Thingies. I have a thingy and it's not final.
I got to believe it or not, clip last episode, and that was thrilling.
Oh, the I have a thingy. I loved when he said that. I think I died when he did that. Like, it was so exciting. Silly Brian Dagley, tricks are for kids. Let's go bury Dawson's body. And salt it. You know, burn it and salt the bones.
All right, we need a bone saw, a shovel, and condoms.